Most days, I get the privilege of going home for lunch. It's wonderful to gather at lunch with whoever happens to be there, if Steve's working from home, or Felicity, or Peter, or sometimes my mother, the nanny, whoever it is. And each day, Felicity greets me with a question, something that's been working on her throughout the day. It's often something she wants to do later in the day, or a friend she wants to see. But about 3 weeks ago, when we sat down to lunch, she looked at me and said, "Why do people need God, Mommy? Why do people need God, Mommy?" And the adults who were also in the room looked at me and said, "I'm so glad you came home for lunch today." This could be your question and not ours. So we talked a little bit about how God made people and loves us and wants the best for us, but even when we try hard, sometimes we, mess up. And when we mess up, God forgives us when we ask and seeks to use us to clean up those messes, to make the world more God and less oops. She nodded. And she said, "You mean we need to say, oops, sorry, and help God?" I nodded. I thought, rarely have we talked about confession, pardon, reconciliation, and redemption so succinctly. But she got it, somehow. I wonder about us, when we say those times, "For something I didn't do, I'm sorry. For those who I've affected and not meant to at all, I'm sorry. For those things I did intentionally, and quite frankly, they were wrong, I'm sorry. For that which I didn't do, and I really should have, I'm sorry. For all of the oopses, I'm sorry." Ash Wednesday begins the Lenten season, the 40 days, just like this sermon begins a new series on prayer, one word prayers. There is a thought by a theologian, Anne Lamott, that most of our prayers are unintentional and slip out of our mouths in one word segments. "Wow, thanks, oops, help," all kind of tumbling out of our mouths. Prayers on the go. This series is a way of exploring those one-word prayers and what's behind our instincts of them. On this day, we say an awful lot of oops and I'm sorry. We take the opportunity to confess, to admit, to acknowledge we've all done things by commission and omission that were not right. We confess our sins. When we speak of sin, we talk about that individual thing that you and I have all done, those things that are done and left undone that distance us from God. But we also talk about our corporate and social sins, the things we contribute to, often unknowingly, that have ill will towards others. I'm thinking this is different for most of us than the do's and do nots that we grew up with. Most of us learned not to chew with our mouths open, to stop pulling our classmates' hair, and to stop at stop signs. We kind of picked up on the do's and the do-nots. But sin is a little bit more than the do's and the do-nots. If we put our relationship with God and others at the center of our lives, then anything that causes ill being with others and with God is sin. When we maintain that we haven't murdered or coveted or adulterated or lied, and we're doing okay. We've missed. There's other ways in which our relationships have become distant. When we begin to see the ends in light, we understand the ways in which Jesus said even our thoughts were that which could harm others. Now, I have to say, this is a bit of a mixed up kind of a business. The theologian Marjorie Suhaki says, it's seldom that our sins have no good in them, and it's seldom that our good has no sin in it. We're mixed creatures, hungering after God's purity. Even when attempting to do good, sometimes you and I end up hurting someone along the way. And sometimes when we are trying to do something we don't intend to do good alongside it, when we confess, we allow for that which we didn't even know or intend. The theologian goes on to say, unacknowledged sin is not absent sin, but disguised sin that we need to discover. Confession becomes a portion of restoration and reconciliation with others as well as with God. The confession of sin is always a double confession, that is to say, in relationship with people and in relationship with God. Sin is like the dam that holds back water of God's grace. Confession breaks forth that dam, releasing God's divine waters for our thirsty souls. Divine will towards our well-being is God's forgiveness. Confession of our corporate sin allows you and I to bear together, to approach together, those things about our world that are so broken that no one person can save and no one person can redeem. This is why we include in our prayers of confession those ills and evils of the world, not because any one of us is specific to that sin, but because we all have contributed in God's world. With prayerful hope, we want to change that which is broken. As we walk this journey of Lent and look towards the glory of the empty tomb which hangs on the horizon 47 odd days away, we have some work to do before we get there. Lent is one of those periods of time in which you and I commit to do that work. We ask the questions, what are the ways in which our relationship with God has become distant, has become blocked? Where has there been ill will that has taken over peace and joy in our relationships with other people? What do you and I need to confess as individuals and as a whole human race? Where do we need to move towards peace and reconciliation instead of being stuck in that which the world has given us? As we confess our sins, we remember that God is infinitely more forgiving and full of grace than any one of us could imagine. We marvel at this gift and hope that we might emulate it towards others. God's grace and love is an inspiration for those who have brought ill will towards us. Often you and I as a culture have misunderstood forgiveness. We've thought the colloquial phrase forgive and forget takes us towards a place of wiping clean the slate and forgetting all that has come before, but I appreciate Suhaki's definition. She says to forgive is to will the well-being of others and to live accordingly. To forgive those you've hurt and those who've hurt you as a way of seeking their full healing and wholeness as another child of God. There's no doubt in my mind that this is rigorous work. This is the tradition of the church that the Lord's Prayer is prayed regularly and in many of our lives daily, because we need the daily reminder to need and to extend forgiveness. God, who works with us where we are and leads us towards a more full life in God. Like a recovering alcoholic, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, once a sinner, always a sinner, we're in need, my friends, of the forgiveness that God offers to us. We have the propensity to do ill towards those we don't intend ill towards. What changes? What's different? What gives us hope is the grace and the love, the forgiveness of God towards all of God's people. It is our very faith that lives in the forgiveness of sins. So, like Felicity's question, why do people need God? We need God for redemption and for salvation, the work of our souls. When we confess our oops, big and small, let us turn again to God's redemption and salvation, God's gift and grace to us through the sacrament of Holy Communion. Let us turn this Lent towards God in intentional prayer across these 40 days. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.